This is Ozarks at Large. There are no official boundary lines for what is called the Bible Belt. It's generally agreed, though, that the Ozarks, the Ouachitas, all of Arkansas, exist in a region where religion and faith are important influences on almost every aspect of everyday life. With this in mind, we launch a series of conversations on this edition of Ozarks about faith. Clint Schneckloth is lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville. He's also the author of the book Mediating Faith, Faith Formation in a Transmedia Era. For our first conversation about faith matters, we discussed, among other things, the diversification in this region that's developed in recent years.
I've been interested in this basically ever since we moved to the region, which was a little over 3 years ago. But what's fascinating to me is to hear people tell stories about the transitions that are happening in the religious landscape, especially like, say, in Fayetteville, but really that's also regional, because you have, the Islamic Center that's been built on the university campus here recently. You have
Temple Shalom
is relatively new, and that's a new and really growing Jewish community. And if you talk to the Jewish community, for example, they'll talk about the transitions and the growth of Judaism within the South, which is interesting, you know. And then that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg in terms of some of the developments and changes that are happening in the area.
I'm wondering, where you grew up, was there a large diversity of faith?
Well, where I grew up, there were some dominant Christian traditions, but they were different than here. In fact, I joke with people here. So I grew up on a farm outside of Eldridge, Iowa. And in Eldridge, there were no evangelical or Baptist churches. That area was settled primarily by German immigrants in the 19th century who were all either Lutheran or Roman Catholic. So those are the two biggest traditions in that part of the country. It was like the Lutherans and the Catholics. And then when I was in junior high, so this would have been like, say, the early or mid-80s, there was a Baptist church plant in Eldridge, and an increasing number of my classmates were part of that community because Eldridge was starting to diversify a little bit. People were coming from other parts of the country to the area. Like here, there were some big industries mm-hmm. that were drawing employees like Caterpillar and John Deere and that kind of thing. And but I honestly didn't know that much about Baptists or evangelicals growing up from direct experience. It was more how dominant they are in terms of the Protestant landscape nationally. You know, you can't go to the Christian bookstore without it being primarily
right. Like
evangelical or whatever.
So if faith touches so many of us and it's all about us, it still seems it's something that many of us are anxious to talk about, especially if we're going to talk about it with someone who might not share our particular background or faith. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think that I just read this quote yesterday I really like. it's a little scary, too. There's a Elizabeth Drescher, who is a kind of like a religion analyst and professor of communications and religion, summarizing some data from the Pew Foundation, said Catholics are leaving the church because they're hurt. Evangelicals are leaving the church because they're angry. And mainline Protestants are leaving the church because they're bored. Which is this kind of fascinating mix. So when you talk to people who come from different traditions, what I notice anyway is those kinds of things play out. So there are some people raised fundamentalists who would really rather not talk about religion at all because it's almost like they have post-traumatic stress disorder. And the whole experience they had growing up in that tradition was so hard for them that they don't want to have the conversation. Or you'll have lapsed Catholics who have been hurt by some of the things that have happened in Roman Catholicism. You'll have mainline Protestants who are just kind of apathetic, and they're like, yeah, I used to go to church and whatever. So I find kind of there's a range. There's some people who really would rather you didn't mm-hmm. bring it up. Maybe they've simply been evangelized too much or whatever. The wider cross-section, once they have decided that you seem like a relatively safe conversation partner, you know, you're not going to, like, lead them down the path to
whatever.
Right, yeah. Whatever. Then there's some fascination, curiosity. People will ask each other questions about their tradition, that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's interesting because I was thinking about it coming from the other way, that I wouldn't want to get into a conversation with someone because I wouldn't want to offend them by something I said that might offend them because they don't believe the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to protect them from my thoughts.
Yeah. My basic philosophy on that as a pastor is, the way I describe it is, I practice what I'd call open confessionalism, which means I think it's actually healthy and good for me to be transparent about what grounds me, where I'm coming from. But that doesn't mean that I have to that I have any kind of responsibility to, like, convert you and make you come into the confession that I'm a part of. If I describe my confession well, like if I describe my faith well and I live it well, maybe you'll be attracted to it. But that's ultimately not my role. But I think I don't have to, like, the open part is I don't have to, like, kind of protect you from it as long as I'm grounded in a healthy way. And
that makes sense.
And then there are, I think there's increasing numbers of people in all religious traditions who are trying to practice that. Who, you know, we have some groups here in Fayetteville that try to be intentional about gathering people from a wide set of religious traditions.
There's an interfaith day that happens, yeah, at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, right?
Exactly. I'm good friends with a couple of the members over at Temple Shalom, and they'll invite us to come to some of their religious observances. They come to ours periodically, and there's not a philosophy of, like, we're trying to, you know, get the temple members to become Lutheran, or, you know, the temple isn't trying to convert the Lutherans to Judaism, but more of, like, we can be strengthened by understanding each other better. And in fact, some like, say, theologians who work in the area of comparative theology say you really start to understand your own tradition best when you engage another tradition. If you're just kind of hunkered down in your own, you don't even understand yourself very well. So the, you know, coming to the other and having that engagement actually deepens your own faith.
Do you have a hope for what people leave after one of your sermons, feeling called to action, better about themselves? Is there a goal? And that may be so ambitious if you're doing it 52 Sundays a year.
Uh-huh. One of my favorite ways of thinking about the sermon is to say that the sermon actually isn't done when I get done delivering it, but it's where it, how it plays out among the congregation in some way in their life. And so when I know that a sermon has done something, you're often, first of all, you're often surprised. Sometimes the sermon you thought was just amazing, you get nothing back, you know, and you're like, it feels like it went thunk, and you're like, why did that happen? And then you have some other sermon that you think is like a complete mess, and you think like, oh man, that didn't do anything for anybody. And then you'll go home and you'll see like a flurry of posts on Facebook, and they're like, after the sermon today, I was really thinking about whatever, or somebody will send you a note or mm-hmm. call you. And so, first of all, that's always a surprise. But what I really, I would say if I have a hope, it's essentially that it opens up kind of the active engagement on the part of people so that they're carrying their faith into their daily walk in a way that keeps them curious and talking. And I think that if they're doing that, like if they're still kind of considering something from the sermon on Sunday morning, on Sunday evening, and they're talking about it at the dinner table, there's some pretty good chance that it's also going to impact then maybe how they relate to somebody differently at work Monday morning.
Clint Schneckloth is lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville and author of the book Mediating Faith, Faith Formation in a Transmedia Era. Our conversations about faith and faith-related topics will continue on Ozarks at Large over the coming weeks and months. If you have comments or suggestions about this series, you can send us an email to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. That's ozarksatlarge at gmail.com.